If you are curious about how to grow an account on Instagram, whether it's for your podcast or your business or both, then stick around because this episode is going to be super helpful. Today's guest is Adam Warkong. He's a friend of mine. He's been a marketer for the last 9 years, which is crazy because he's only 24, same age as me. This guy has built such an incredible business. He has the freedom to do whatever he wants. And he's 24, only 24. So he knows his stuff. He's known as the Instagram guy. But beyond that, he has a lot of skills as a general marketer. He's got an email. He's a pro at email marketing. He's worked in tons of different businesses, from literally horse racing to SaaS to dating. So he really knows his stuff. And here are the three main things that you're going to learn from this episode. Number one, why the first second, not 2 seconds, 3 seconds, but first 1 second of your reels matter most, and how you can kind of put hooks together so that you can hook people in right at the start. Number two, how much you should be posting on Instagram. It's probably more than you think, which for me is a little bit daunting, but according to Adam, it only takes an hour per week. He explains how you can actually do that. And finally, the three types of content that you can actually create on Instagram. And we talk about a lot of other stuff. His story is also really cool. He's just a really interesting person. I mean, he's 24 and he has a massive business that he's created like all on his own. And he actually only uses Facebook for his business. He's not even on Instagram, which I think is super ironic and hilarious. So hope you enjoy this episode. And just before we get into it, I want to ask that if you found any of this useful and you want to support me in creating all this content, then really the best way to do that is just to leave a quick review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple, just, you know, go to the podcast page and click a review button and 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, 1 star, hopefully not 1 star, but whatever you can do, that'd be so, so helpful. It helps more people find the show, helps me get in front of more people and help more people with their podcast and with their business and all that fun stuff. So anyways, let's get right into it. Hope you enjoy. Adam, welcome to Oh My Pod. It's great to be chatting with you today, man.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Ever since our call, we met just a couple weeks ago, actually. I've been thinking about, you know, some of the stuff you told me because you're like the Instagram expert. Like, I've talked to a lot of people about Instagram and about, like, you know, going viral or whatever. But the way that you kind of, you know, explained it was, I don't know, for me, I thought right away, I really want you to come on the podcast so that, you know, my people can hear exactly what you told me then. But yeah, before that, like, why don't we just go into a little bit about like who you are and what you do? So like, what is it that people, what that you do so that people can kind of get a grasp of, you know, what kind of person you are?
It's pretty funny, by the way, about Instagram. Like, I might have mentioned it 3 times my entire life, like publicly, that I do Instagram. But for some reason, it just kind of became a thing where everyone like, oh, you need Adam. 9% of people have never spoken to me, which is extremely funny. So they just reach out to me like, hey, this is the IG guy. I'm like, thanks, but we've never met. We've never spoken. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. It actually just so happened to maybe 3 years ago or so. I just stumbled across IG for a client. Whereas before, my main focus was just maybe marketing in general or just email marketing. I used to specialize in email marketing, still do email marketing. But this one client was like, hey, could you also do IG for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. It doesn't look that hard. And eventually it was kind of hard, actually. Like, a lot of moments where my copy just didn't work. And I'm just sitting there like, why does this not work? Like, it's so painful. Like, I know my shit works. I know my copy works. Like, I've been doing it for 9 years. But for some reason, I couldn't really crack the code when it came to Instagram. And then I started checking, okay, cool. Sometimes stuff works. Okay, how can I repeat that? Like, how can I get the awesome results again? So I started evaluating everything. Cool. Here I did this. Didn't work. Here I'm doing this. That works really well. So over time, with experience by a lot of trial and error, I kind of figured out like what works. So there are several things when it comes to Instagram. So first, you got the algorithm. So like I call it the IG gods or the Instagram gods. Like whether they love you or not is very, very important. So you've got to deal with the algorithm. Then you've got your audience, but at the same time also the guru you write for or whoever the face of the company is or the company tone of voice, so to say. So sometimes it's hard because the client might not like what the algorithm loves. The algorithm might not love what the client wants you to do. And then you've got the audience, like what actually resonates with the audience. So you got to combine everything and make it work. So for example, with hooks, there are a lot of hooks where I'm like, personally, as an entrepreneur for the last 9 years, I don't like these hooks. I would never click on this. But if you go mass market, then you got to think differently. Like, what do they like? What does my audience like? How can I also reach non-followers? So that's like the organic reach that you're aiming for when it comes to Instagram. So you got to think about that and also like really push away your own stuff. But as marketers, like, it's not about your own bubble and what you think, right? It's about your target audience. A lot of stuff with that. Also, does the algorithm like the hook? And now, how can I tweak it in a way that the client or guru also likes it? So then you play around with the copy. So by doing that day in, day out, like every single, I literally spend hours and hours on Instagram every single day. Like I scroll through as if I have no life. That's kind of how I
But you're working.
Yeah, I'm working. Half of the time people think I'm just doing nothing, because if they look at my phone, I'm just meme, real random shit, or like, they just wonder, like, what? So what exactly do you do? Like, well, you know, I'm evaluating, dissecting what's working. I'm looking for patterns in the content that I can use for my clients.
This is like the same thing that I do when I'm listening to music, because I am always like, it's. I remember when I was young, it was just about listening to the song. And as I got older and I learned how to produce and I started writing songs, it became that like if a song was playing in a club or in a car or something, it was like I went right into like work mode. And I'm like, okay, like what are they doing there with the bass? How is that? So I completely get that. And what I wanted to just quickly touch on is something that you said, like you became the Instagram guy. It only took you like a few years. So I think for everybody listening, it'd be pretty useful for you to just like tell us, how was it that you got a lot of success with that first client and it just sort of went word of mouth viral from there? Or was it that, like, how do you become the guy for something so quickly?
I do have a pretty big network. So I think I really started networking in 2020 or so. So I would say in the most marketing spaces, people kind of know me as the Asian guy or the fried rice guy. That was kind of my branding.
The fried rice guy.
Yeah, the fried rice guy.
That's cool.
I had it was this meme of a guy and a standing like that with a wok. And I just photoshopped my own head on it. And for some reason, it kind of went viral in all our marketing space.
That's funny.
A lot of people know me for that. A lot of people reach out to me whenever they need help, whether it's for Instagram or copy in general, or just other copywriters, and we just kind of review each other's stuff. So over time, a lot of people would reach out to me like, hey, I'm trying this new thing. Like Instagram, it was already a thing before, but it wasn't as big as it was starting from 2021, it really started exploding in my opinion. So people reach out to me like, okay, cool, here are some pointers, take a look at this. So this is why it didn't perform. This is what I think you should do for the next few tries. And then usually it works. It works really well for them. And they come back for more. And then I coached a few people and kind of, like you said, like word of mouth, it just came bigger and bigger. And everyone just reached out to me like, hey, can you help me with this? Can you take a look at that? So whether it was for Instagram shout out, for boosted ads, or reels, and also the content, or just the strategy and like take a really like a macro play of everything. Like, cool, what are we doing wrong? Like, why can we not go viral like other accounts? For example, they have so many great copywriters, and I see this a lot also with my own students. They write great copy, but if you don't understand the whole game, it's just going to waste. So at one point, people just kind of figured out that I could see the patterns really well, and it takes me a few minutes to just go into your account and look into it, like the data or just the content. I can just point out like, oh, these are the main obstacles. This is how you can fix it. This is what you do moving on forward. And these are also the things that you gotta keep in mind when you work with either copywriters, graphic designers, or video editors. Because same with copywriters, they might do copy good, but not Instagram. The designers might do design really good, but maybe not Instagram. Just like the editors as well, they might be amazing at video editing, but if they don't understand Instagram, everything flops. So there's a really fun game to play, kind of frustrating sometimes, but it is very nice.
So tell me, so let's go into that a little bit. Because what we did on our call, just so everybody knows, is we pulled up my Instagram and we were just looking at the account. It's like, it's not like I've tried to grow it or anything. It's just like, you know, I'm more just using it as a place to show up and talk with people and whatever, but I've never like tried to go viral. But you looked at it and you were looking for a few things to kind of see if like the account might need to be like wiped and restarted? Or so what do you look at when you go to an account to see if, you know, you can make it go viral?
So there are kind of like, I would say, different levels of your account. In some cases, if I work with bigger clients and they do quite well, I just need a few tweaks to like really increase the revenue, increase the engagement, leads, and virality. But for example, for either smaller or older accounts, like let's say you had an account, you had 30K followers, but you just kind of got about 2 years. For 2 years, you kind of got about it. The followers you had before are either inactive or maybe you're trying to get into a different niche. So for example, for you, like let's say people who follow you are into music, but now suddenly you want to start selling, I don't know, you want to start selling a tennis course or something. Like there's a huge disconnect there. They can't really force them. So they want to engage with your content. Because they don't engage, Instagram sees it as kind of red flag. So the more they show your stuff, the less time people spend platform, which is bad. But if they love your music and now you start posting more music content and they really love it, they like, share, save, etc., then the algorithm knows, oh, the more we show this guy's content to people who are interested in this specific niche or industry, the longer they stay on the platform, which also means, you know, means more revenue, more money, more ads they can show. And that's a benefit to them. So that's the algorithm part. Other stuff you could take a look at is, for example, the very basic stuff, like are your followers real? So there are a lot of, well, prospects or leads, just people in general that come to me and they show me their accounts. I'm just looking at it and like, there's no way your followers are real. Like, did you work with an agency before? And did they promise you an X amount of followers? Like, yeah. Like we paid, I don't know, 5K for 5,000 followers. So they had a specific guarantee to give you this amount of followers. Okay, that's a bit of a red flag. So how did they do it? Yeah, they had these pages and it's their pages. But those pages gave you maybe the wrong followers. At one point you have this amount of followers and maybe this amount of those followers that actually likes your content. So percentage-wise of your followers is very, very small. They don't like your content. They don't engage with your content. And Instagram thinks your account is kind of flopping. So they won't push it. Those are a few things I would look up. Besides that, it's just the content in general. Like if you don't know how to hook people in, the first 2 seconds are very important. Like if you have, let's say, the greatest information ever on the planet, but you can't grab their interest or curiosity and you can't grab their attention, there's no reason for them to watch it. But those are a few things I'll look into. For example, a lot of comedy guys, they are amazing. Like a lot of great copywriters I know, they're into comedy as well. I learned a lot of my stuff from comedy as well. And they really know how to hook people in. And that's when you can have your great copy come in afterwards. So you focus on that. So maybe in some case, I could tell people, oh, your copy is amazing. Like your copywriter does know what he's doing, but you've got to work on the hooks. You've got to work on the ID. Or maybe when it comes to design, like all this copy is amazing. What you're saying is amazing, but the design literally hurts my eyes. And you'd be surprised how many big companies, like 6, 7, 8, 9 figures, like they're trying to skimp out on designers and video editors. It just looks so shady, even though their services, their products are amazing. So those are just a few things I look at.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a combination of the visual, which is done by like a, you know, designer slash video editor, and then there's the copy, and then not everybody who writes copy can also understand the hook that's going to work for the video as well. So this is why it makes perfect sense that, you know, you need somebody who's really, really good and really understands the platform. My question that I was thinking of as you were talking was like, so with podcast like clips, right? Podcast clips are like a big thing. It's like something that everybody wants to have on their page or whatever. And a lot of people think it's going to make them go viral. I've been seeing like less and less of those actually perform properly. So my first question is like, what do you think in general about like repurposed clip content? And then is there a way to make repurposed clip content like a lot better by maybe adding in a hook to play before it and then going into the content. So yeah, if you can answer those, I think that'd be really helpful.
When you say clip, do you mean like a clip from a podcast or a clip from...
from a podcast. So like just from a rant, like, you know, like a highlight spot. And it's just like, it's not really cut a whole bunch. It's just like a minute long of the, you know, craziest part of the podcast or something.
Yeah, I would definitely focus again the hook, so the first few seconds. So if you have a really strong part, so for example, probably everyone knows Andrew Tate about sparkling water, because that hook was so, like, I thought it was one of the funniest things ever. So that really hooks people in. Yeah, and then you can really show other stuff. So you start with that. Like if you have something really strong, something really funny, or something that just gives people like an aha moment, like, oh shit, I never thought about it that way. That attracts people. But if you have, let's say, a more educational or more like a nurture part or a clip of the podcast, it might not go very viral because people also come to Instagram for entertainment. So I would start with a way to like really pull them in and then educate them afterwards. So like, what do you start with? What is the first 2 seconds? Like maybe probably less. Like you don't, attention span on Instagram is very, very low. So if the first second of that clip isn't awesome, then it's very hard to get people in. So you can do it, but you really need to know what you use. But on the other hand, you can also use it like kind of like a quantity game, like a numbers game. And like you can use a bunch of clips and maybe a few will go viral. But probably if you sit down for an hour or so and really ask yourself, okay, which ones are grabbing attention and which ones aren't, then it's more likely that you'll actually go viral with some of the clips, or at least get more than a couple hundred views.
Yeah, so it's probably not enough to like, well, do you know, like, have you seen people use like the AI clipping tools where they just pick the clip spots and do it? Have you seen that actually lead to any kind of success?
I've seen a few and I've used it myself as well. In some cases, it could work, but it also really depends on your niche, also depends on the guru. So for example, if you use Joe Rogan or Andrew Huberman, a lot of boring clips, or I would say boring clips, can still go viral because
exactly.
The power isn't in the clip. The power is in the face of the company or the name of the person. So that brings a lot of power. So that's why a lot of people try to replicate it and like they don't succeed because they don't have it. Like you don't have the authority. Like people don't recognize you. So that's also slightly different.
Yeah, I say that a lot with podcasts as well. It's like at the beginning of your show when you have like almost zero recognition, it's like the content has to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. And then if you do happen to build a name for yourself and you end up with, you know, hundreds of thousands of downloads, then you can get more lenient with what you put out there because people are there for you and the content is still obviously part of it. But when, you know, when you're first starting out, it's like you have to craft the beginning. Same thing with the podcast episode. Like the first 60 seconds are like all of your retention rate. And it's usually where people play like a very basic, boring, pre-recorded intro with like music and somebody else is doing the voiceover. And that's like, you know, like it's just like retention, just like people just don't, it's just boring, right? People are gone right away if they're coming for the first time. So lots of similarities there. I want to just kind of end off with you talking about what you told me about like the posting, like posting from Monday to Friday on Instagram. Like if somebody has a podcast, they probably also are trying to build a personal brand or business around it. Then, you know, if they were to also maybe have a few podcast clips that they could post as well, so we could kind of use that as like part of their content. But like, what would you suggest, like, or what would you, you know, give people as an outline for like what they could post throughout a given week?
Gotcha. So yeah, for this, you need some kind of outline or kind of a good balance of what you post. But at the same time, you also got to make sure you look at your stuff and you know how to change it. Because Instagram is such, it changes so incredibly fast. It's insane. And if you see a certain pattern, you've got to switch. For example, if you get a lot of leads, then you can probably afford to do more educational nurture content because you already got the leads, you already got the followers. If you don't, you probably want to focus on more viral clips, more viral reels. But a rough outline for, let's say, Monday to Friday, which is 5 days, I would probably have 2 or 3 pieces of content every single day. So you've got something that goes very viral, which could be some viral hook with maybe a celebrity or maybe some viral quotes,
a piece of news or something that's
news. Yeah. Something inspirational, something motivational, something that's educational and nurture, because you also want to think about the long run. Just going viral doesn't mean that much. But if you would tell them, like, hey, we've been doing this business for 10, 20, 30 years or longer, that's where you get like, oh shit, like that's awesome. A lot of people can go viral 1 or 2 years and they just kind of disappear. You never hear about them anymore. So you definitely want that. And also for selling your offers, depending on what you sell, it's slightly different. If you sell something high ticket, you probably want more education, more nurture to build that relationship with your audience. So first you go viral, the educational nurture, and probably also you want to add stuff that's kind of in between, I would say. And you can do that with, I call it talking head videos, where you kind of just sit in front of the camera just like this. And you just talk people through the process, or you talk about what you've done or how it works. And you can mix and match these things kind of like all the time. Sometimes you can have very heavy focus on viral stuff. For example, if I want to go viral today, I might just use Kanye West, Kim Kardashian on the front. Which for some reason, it has been going viral for the last 2 years, which is really, really funny. I always go back to that. Or whatever's happening right now. Like if Andrew Tate goes to jail today, you probably want to use that as your hook. And then you want to transition it into your own, whatever it is that you do. Second thing, educational nurture. Okay, how does the process work? What should they think about? Like, why is it so much better than other options? You could mix it with a talking head. Like maybe you want to educate people how it works and why it works so well. Or you could just do it as an inspirational reel where you just show your own process. For example, for me, I could do it for myself. Like, cool, 9 years ago, I was broke. I had nothing. I got burned out and I had nothing left. I would go through old clothing just to find some coins to buy some food. So I could start with that. Now, 9 years later, I can pretty much do anything I want whenever I want. So you could have the process of that, an inspirational, motivational thing. It has a lot of viral power, I would say.
Right. But it's also showing in another way, like it is motivational and it's like transformational for people, but it's also showing like, hey, look at, I also like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, because you're talking about the business that you grew and that's the services that you're trying to sell from that business as well. So it's kind of multi-purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, in general, it works really well. People love to see that, like, you're not this perfect guy that just suddenly made it. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. For most people, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, if you really achieve something, like, 99% of the time, like, there was a price you had to pay. And for a lot of people, that meant health, family, friends, your social life.
Yeah, social life for
relationships.
Sure.
Relationships. And just by making people aware of that, in my opinion, I think that works really well, especially for a more sophisticated audience. For a younger audience, very often they don't really care. Like, they want to see the cars, they want to see the watches, they want to see the girls, which is okay. Like, I mean, it depends on your audience, right? But an older audience, more sophisticated, with more money in general, it works much better if you just show them, like, hey, I didn't do this overnight. Like, it took me so many years and now I can teach you in much less because I already made the mistakes and I can help you prevent making those mistakes and just kind of accelerate the process.
Yeah. So you would do 2 to 3 posts a day. You would kind of cycle through viral topical one, then something educational, and then something sort of in between, or maybe like a story, or maybe like something to do with your lifestyle, like something more personal maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So virality, your own lifestyle, directly educating or just nurture. You can really play around with those things. So it's, I would say, like, feel free to play around with it. Just know what patterns work and replicate that. But the viral stuff you can use with talking heads as well, and just the other way around. So it doesn't just have to be some graphic. It can be, today it can be a graphic about Kanye West. Tomorrow it can be a video about Kanye West. And the day after it can be you talking about Kanye West. So we've got the same topic, but in 3 different styles.
Yeah, because I think one of the biggest things that people think when they hear this is like, they think, okay, well, 2 to 3 posts a day, like that's going to be like all of my time. You know what I mean? So do you get people saying that to you a lot?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they think it takes a lot of time, which is pretty funny because it really doesn't have to be. if you can do it in batches, you could shoot enough videos for the entire month or maybe 2 months in less than an hour.
Wow, in less than an hour?
Yeah, yes. For example, the talking head videos, they're relatively short videos, like 30 to 60 seconds max. And like, of course, something happens, you're a little slower, we want to reshoot it, so we've got to do it again. But it's still just a 30-second video. So you just kind of get it done in batches, you know the patterns, you know like a winning format. So the format could be, or like the outline of those videos could be problem, how to fix it, how we do it, how you can do it, and call to action. Super simple. It's just two sentences, two sentences, two sentences, two sentences, and two sentences, or maybe less. More or less, like that's like a rough outline. You can replicate that pretty easy. And then with the next video, you just show a different problem, or you show a different, let's use celebrity example again. You just use a different celebrity and you add new information. Kanye West did it with, I don't know, 500 million, but Kim Kardashian did this with 20 million on one day. Or now something happens with Biden. Biden just did this. And we've got a new problem. For a lot of the viral hooks or the quotes, you can mix and match that. Like, copywriters have their hooks and you can use similar hooks or create your own list of hooks for Instagram. Play around with that.
Yeah, this is all great, man. We're all content creators in you know, everybody who listens to this podcast is a content creator. So this has been a nice change of pace, kind of talking about not just podcasting, but like even just for me, like I run more than just my podcast. I do a lot of different things. So it was really helpful. And just also to hear you talk about the importance of copywriting, but also the hook and how those two things are kind of separate jobs, even though they are, you know, a copywriter can make great hooks, but it sometimes they don't go hand in hand, and the hook is really everything. So I think there's a lot of really good stuff in there. I want to thank you for coming on, man. This has been awesome. And if somebody wants to talk to the Instagram guy, where do they go to find you?
The only thing I ever used was Facebook. So Facebook would be great. Adam Warkhan on Facebook. I'm probably the only Asian with that name, I guess. I've never seen anyone else with the name.
Yeah.
So cool. You'll probably find me there.
Yeah. And we'll link it down below too. So no problem if people can't find it. But that's crazy that you only use Facebook and you know you're doing so well. So you're really a testament to also, it's funny because you're literally the social media guy, but you're a testament to not needing to use it to actually, you know, achieve your goals. It just depends on what your goals are, I guess, right?
Yeah, it took me a while, but at one point I just realized that you really don't need that much. So I kind of just mastered one thing and like it worked for me. So like, okay, if this is what works, I'm just going to double down on it. That's how I did it. You really don't need that many things. And also being kind of underground and not too known is pretty nice in my opinion. Like it's a lot nicer than being all over the internet. But it's kind of your own preference, I guess.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's very ironic, but I love it, man. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you as well. Thanks.
Hey, just before you go, I'm really happy that you made it to the end of this episode. It means the world to me. I only want to ask for one thing in return for putting together all this content for free, and that's just leaving a review if you can, wherever you're listening, if it's Apple or Spotify. Just leaving a quick review is super, super helpful for us. It's going to help more people find the show so I can keep putting this content together for free. Thank you so much, and we will see you on the next episode of Oh My Pod.